And a guy that's been in the pits a whole lot of times. Damn, I've forgotten how many times this son of a bitch has been in the Speed Freaks pits, but he travels the damn globe talking about Formula One, open wheel. Now we're going to find out how he likes changing Pampers here. First time as a father in the Speed Freaks pits, the Ringmaster. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And to answer your question, I'm working out the Pamper situation. I can tell you what, my son was born for, 3 minutes onto this planet, and he was over at the table. I call it the heating lamp table, and he already hit me up.
Already, 3 minutes on the planet, already cracked off a cone, huh?
I said, you know what, I feel like David Richards. You know what I
mean? Hey, the best thing in life I think I've heard from a professional athlete was in 1986 when the Boston Celtics won the world championship. Kevin McHale said he walked out of there, he's got champagne all over him and stuff. They just beat the Houston Rockets to win their 16th championship in Boston Celtic history. And he said, and his wife handed him his newborn son, and he did the same thing. He goes, you know, he brings you right back to earth when your son poops on you after winning a championship. So that it's got to be the same. But you guys, have you managed to get any sleep at all? How can you even worry about Formula One when you got a new baby in the house?
Well, fortunately, keeping up with the business of F1 and all that happens, you know, my fax machine and my phone rings basically 24/7. So fortunately, I'm up. I've got an understanding of what it's about. And he already, for the very first time, I had him watching practice with me. So, you know, we're getting him ready so he could be pushing a Ferrari here in 2019, just in time for Schumacher to retire, right?
Okay. Did you get him a helmet and some driving clothes yet?
I have not gotten that, but I want to send a warm thank you out to all of you guys for sending the flowers, and it's wonderful. In fact, it's here at the home, and it really meant a lot to my wife and myself to get that. So thank you guys very much.
You've brought flowers into our life, and we just wanted to return the favor.
Business at hand. We have a lot to discuss. Where do you want to begin?
Well, the first China. Time that F1 has gone into China. Tell us about that. And it's so unnerved Michael that he ended up spinning out on his qualifying run.
Well, I mean, I guess what we can say, at least for the most part, is that this is going to shape up to be possibly one of the most competitive, exciting races of the season due to the fact that Michael Schumacher is going to be back there with the minorities. So I have even heard recently that they may opt, if you can get this, to start him from the pit lane and let everybody go by and then have him come out.
What?
So he changes race strategy. That's what I've heard recently as this morning.
It would also mean that you didn't have to sit next to a guy that's going to jump up and turn left and take you out by accident.
Absolutely. But as you mentioned, the first race into China, this is part of the overall Formula One strategy, and we talked about this lug about why they're going to all these different countries.
Yeah.
China has anywhere between 1.3 to 1.4 billion, with a B, consumers out there. Now, granted, they don't make much more than $1,000 a year U.S. for the most of them, and a ticket to get into this weekend is almost
$1,005.
It's basically a third or a quarter of their annual income to actually go to the race. So the merchandisers are starting up. The sponsorship agencies, as that we're called, or that they're calling them, are stepping up with the sponsors. They've got the Chinese government-controlled oil company as the head sponsor for the GP. So it's signed until, I believe, 2008. For 2009, so they want to make a big impact. They want to make a splash. I don't know how many cars that Toyota or Mercedes or BMW are actually selling in China, but Shanghai, to my understanding, and this is one place I have not been, is pretty much I guess it is the most modern, newest, evolved city in China, and so it is really making a push and using this F1 GP. To promote China and Shanghai to the Western world.
We're talking to the Ringmaster, our F1 expert. Tell us about Ford. That was the big deal that happened this week while you were delivering babies into the world. Ford decided to get out of the F1 business.
Yeah, my son peed on me, and Ford peed on the rest of F1.
Ouch!
You know, we talked. Basically, what is the same? I'm surprised, but I'm not shocked. Or is that I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised? It's It's one of the two. That's the nature of the business of motorsports. As we had talked about just not more than 2 weeks ago, everyone was under the impression, including me myself, I thought for sure that Ford was going to drop Jaguar. That was not a big deal, but they were going to continue to stay in F1, the pinnacle of motorsports, and continue it, not necessarily for its marketing standpoint, but for its promotion standpoint. The old adage of, you know, win on Sunday, sell on Monday still works, unless you're not winning. And if you're not winning, it doesn't matter. And, you know, Statman, we got into it a little bit about the World Rally Championship. That's in danger. In fact, I've heard that is still going.
Yeah.
So it's not just F1, it's rally. And we kind of said, well, what about kart or champ car? Is that going to have an implication? Anytime you see a company like this, most people don't know that Cosworth, who manufactures all of the engines for Champ Car, is also owned by Ford. And they're the ones who are supplying not just the Ford team, the Jaguar team, but Jordan and Minardi, and the Chevrolet engines in the IRL, even though they're bad Chevrolet, are actually Cosworth engines. So that affects three IRL teams, Panther, Cheever, and Kelly Racing. So we have yet to hear what's going to happen. I'm shocked and amazed. I don't know what it's going to do, but it's bad for the sport and lug for you from an American perspective. We want another race and stuff.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, is only going to make it that much harder for F1 aficionados and F1 in North America to continue to get a toehold and grow the business, because, you know, at this point, we don't have an American driver, nor do we have an American manufacturer or constructor anymore. Mm. So it's distressing, but, you know, that's the thing about motorsports, as you guys know probably more so than me. Give it a minute, it'll change. So
no question. Well, you got a question for the ringmaster. You want to know anything about open-wheel racing or about the new industrial-strength Pampers, give us a call here at 866-937-3257. This is the Speed Freak Saturday edition. Statman Carruthers, Lug Nuts, part of the Speed Freaks here on Sunday night. Stat.
Now, there's still, no matter what happens with all of this, Ford and Jaguar and selling Jaguar and all this going on, what could happen with Red Bull? There's still a possibility for Red Bull to step up and turn it into an American team with Ford behind the scenes, with Red Bull carrying most of the weight of the who's paying the bills.
Yep, you know what? That rumor is still there, and that also I heard actually as recently as this morning as well from my friends on the Jaguar team. Red Bull is, or actually not necessarily Red Bull, but the owner, Dietrich Mateschitz, is still in line, in frame, to purchase the team, but we have heard this over the years with Arrows. Do you remember that? That was going on a couple of years ago, and then with Jordan as recently as a year and a half ago. So at this point, I'm not in the mind to look into the crystal ball and say much anything. You don't want to put yourself out there and say, yes, definitely, Dietrich is going to step up and buy the team. You know, the goal for him and the goal for Red Bull, obviously, is to not only have an American driver, but an all-American team, but you still have to have an engine manufacturer that is American. And Cosworth, if Ford sells it, then it no longer becomes American. So Ford would have to sell it. At this point, it's just too early to tell where it's going to go. I've heard a couple of Formula 3000 teams. One of them, Arden International, may be interested in securing the wind tunnel and that kind of stuff and taking it over. But at this point, it's far too early to tell. But that's what you got to love about motorsports.
Let me throw you a curve, Ringmaster. This just popped into my head, and we haven't talked about this. What if Jack Roush, a Ford guy, steps up and buys that program? He's got an enormous, Roush Industries is an enormous company with 48 to 50 dynos in their own plant there in Michigan. What if they step up and buy Cosworth? That would still keep it an American company.
That would definitely keep it an American company. Roush certainly has the technological ability to do it. What do they race? Five teams in NASCAR?
Yes, five teams. He's raced in sports cars. He's done everything. He wouldn't even have to be, in fact, Roush Industries, not Roush Racing, but Roush Industries is contracted with GM to develop the GM Scion and Cavalier for sport compact racing. So it's not like he's just a Ford guy. So he could buy that and be in that business.
Stats writing his check already for him.
Yeah.
But remember, the holy grail, though, is what I'm near and dear to, is the sponsors. And even if you still get Ford in there, you still have to have another sponsor to step up. I mean, we're talking several hundred million dollars of promotional budget to get involved in this kind of thing. And with HSBC, which was, you know, the staple, the I call it the franchise sponsor for Jaguar. They're stepping away. AT&T was caught off guard by this. DuPont was on board, but I'm sure they're all kind of leery. Just because they have association and affiliation with Ford does not necessarily mean that they'll have association affiliation with Roush or whomever the next owner would be. Mm-hmm. So you got to find a sponsor.
So Ringmaster, tell us about Jacques Villeneuve. He's racing for everybody now. Tell me what's going on with him.
What a year we are having. If we went back and visited some of the tapes about me and Jacques and the missing of him, to think he'd be back this year, that's another thing. It almost got, it was almost overlooked with the Ford issue, but I think it's pretty significant. Having watched him, he obviously is in shape, but it just shows, you know, you stay out of the pinnacle of motorsports for 10 months, even if you have a car that is capable of being a quote-unquote race winner, as we saw in Monaco, you're going to be at the back of the grid. And he didn't really do, I mean, he looked great for being 10 months off, but it's a gamble by Flavio Briatore to think that, you know, by replacing Jarno Trulli, the whole thing is essentially they want to catch BAR for second. That's what we're talking about, Lug. We're talking about second place.
Yeah.
So they think the motivation is their motivation for Jacques Villeneuve to get back in. Can a team of Villeneuve and Alonso beat the team of Jenson Button on his way to Williams and Takumo blow up the engine Sato? Can they, you know, can they beat each other? And at this point, you know, it could be a stretch. I don't think Jacques is going to do a whole lot this race, but I think that by Japan and at the end Brazil, it may pay some dividends, but I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a close battle for second. But,
you know where he qualified this time out?
Yeah, well, he was further down. I mean, what was he? Was it 11th or 12th, I thought, on there?
He was 12th, yeah.
Yeah. It was, which was basically, he was consistent. He ran more laps this weekend on the Chinese circuit than anybody else, which kind of evened the table up for him because, you know, none of the other drivers had seen the course either. So, but, you know, you step out for 10 months, and that's why you sit back and you got to laugh about, remember the Mika Hakkinen rumors that were less than a month old about him coming back into Formula One and participating with either Williams or BAR before the Jenson Button thing issued. Mika's been out since 2001 and hasn't won a race since the 2001 Indianapolis race at the United States Grand Prix. And, you know, it's going to take some time for these guys to get back into shape regardless of what their past credentials were. So
it does say something about Villeneuve's credentials, though, that after being out of it for a year or more, that he's only 1 1/3 seconds behind Rubens Barrichello in one of the fastest cars ever in F1 history.
Absolutely. But, you know, Villeneuve's greatest ally in Formula One is none other than my superior, the ringmaster, Bernie Ecclestone. And rumor has it that Bernie may have also cut a check and basically pay for Jacques' way for Renault to Flavio Briatore for the last three races, so it's not costing Renault really anything to
That's
have
what
him.
Flavio's going to leave after the end of the next year and spend some of that money.
and become the head to replace Bernie, maybe, of the Formula One management or even at the FAA. So a lot of good stuff. Any predictions? What do you guys think?
I predicted Flavio is going to be cutting a check for something else. I've been hearing all kinds of other stuff in the entertainment world there that he might be cutting a little check himself for some Pampers.
Well, anybody who can move from Naomi to Heidi Klum, she has a kid, he leaves her, and then goes to Nicole Kidman, has definitely got my vote. I mean,
either that or he just doesn't know how to handle beautiful women, and they keep ditching him.
Well, he redefines Playboy. I just want to be a soldier in the army, you know.
Hey, you better stop with that, man. You just offloaded a youngster onto this planet. Your wife's about ready to come over there and give you a beating.
Young and impressionable, absolutely.
So who's going to win? Is this a Raikkonen weekend?
I like. Comfortable with those Mercedes engines, you know, and I know you don't let me pick the red cars, and I wanted to pick them. I think Barrichello's got it. I do. I think he's on a hot streak. I think he's doing well, but I will say this. Have you noticed how well the Sauber cars with that Ferrari power have been doing? And look at where Felipe Massa is. Remember, he was on the show, so we got to give him a shout-out.
Yeah, he's fourth on the grid. Button and Massa in third and fourth. Makes you wonder where old JP is, and
All right.
No, only you wonder where he is. I know where he is. He's back on the grid. He's back with Jacques Villeneuve.
All right, Ringmaster, before we get out of here, how can people on the Speed Freaks and the Freak Nation get a hold of you if they want to get some more insight into Formula One and open wheel racing?
Absolutely. You guys, as phones go off, you guys can reach me at ringmaster@flyawaycircus.com, or you can hit now thefastestplaceonearth.com. gets it up to me, just send me an email, and you can do whatever you need.
Good enough, man. Good luck to you. As usual, appreciate you coming into the Speed Freaks Pit Saturday with Stat and Lug, and take care of that youngster, huh?
I will, and congratulations, guys. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
The Ringmasters.